We are in the middle of the seventh perek of Chovos HaLevavos. So yesterday, we only got through really the first three proofs about the unity of Hashem. In other words, the idea that Hashem Echad. So right now, we're up to the fourth proof that Hashem is one. This proof is actually relatively short, but it's a little bit confusing, so we'll try to explain it as clearly as possible. Okay, so we're up, again, to the fourth proof in the seventh perek about the fact that Hashem is one. Okay, so he says, "For Haravi'i shenemar lemishahu choshev ki habore yoser me'echad lo yimaleit sheyia etzem hakol etzem echad o shelo yia echad." So the fourth argument to say that Hashem is echad is to say that anyone who thinks that Hashem is more than one, which again we spoke a lot about, you know, the last couple of days, then it would follow that the essence of everything, of all of these, you know, theoretical other gods or other creators, would also either have to be one or not one. In other words, if we're claiming that Hashem Echad, so then logically we would also have to say that these other theoretical gods that existed are either Echad or not. V'im yomar ki ha'etzem Echad. If you're going to say that these other theoretical gods are also one, so then im kein ha'inyan Echad v'ha'borei einenu yoser me'echad. Then it turns out that if they are one thing, and then Hashem is not more than one. In other words, if you're going to claim that multiple gods are all Echad, well, then you've essentially detracted the concept of Echad. Because how could something be unique and one if there are multiple gods, right? It doesn't really make any sense. V'im yomar ki l'chol echad mehem etzem einenu me'etzem echad. And if, on the other hand, you're going to argue that these other gods are not one, that they're all just, you know, parts of something, then nitztarich al kopanim sheyeh b'neim hefresh v'pnei machlukus sam v'hishtanu sam. So then there would need to be some kind of a distinction between them because of their differences, or because of the way, listen, or because of the way that they're not similar to each other, right? In other words, if you're going to argue that these gods are actually different from one another, so then there needs to be some kind of feature about them that differs. V'chol nifareish mugbal, v'chol mugbal yesh lo tachlis. So anything which is distinct is limited. Anything which is limited, by definition, is also finite. V'chol asher yesh lo tachlis mechubar. Something is finite, so then it's made up of different things. It's a mixture of different components. V'chol mechubar mechudash. Whatever is made up of a mixture of different things, by definition, is also something new that was brought into existence by something else. V'chol mechudash yesh lo mechadesh. This is one of the arguments, you know, similar to what we made yesterday, is that if something is new, if something exists now, that means that by definition, it must have been brought into existence by a creator. Umisha choshev ki abore yoser me'achad. If you believe that there is, that in other words, if you think that the creator is more than one, you think that there's more than one God, then mitzrich sheyeh mechudash. So then you also have to assume that Hashem was also brought into existence by something else, right? Because if you're going to argue that there's more than one God, so then you also have to make the argument that something caused these gods to come into existence. Uchvar hikdamnu ki bore ha'olam kadmon. We've already proven, as we mentioned already a few days ago, that Hashem was Kadmon. Hashem existed before the world was created. V'hu ilas ha'ilos, u'schilas ha'scholos. And Hashem is the cause of all causes, the beginning of all beginnings. V'hu al kopanim echad. Right, and again, and Hashem is one in essence. V'hu kemosha amar ha'kosov, atahu Hashem levadecha. That you are Hashem alone. In other words, this fourth argument is basically saying, essentially, that Hashem, in other words, that you have to say that he is objectively one, that he's objectively one God, because if you're going to argue that Hashem is more than one God, then you're going to be led to the illogical conclusion that there need to be multiple beings that created the world, and that something or someone else must have created God. But we know that that's not the case, because we've already proven in the last few days that God, Hashem, is Kadmon, that he always existed before even the creation of the world. Okay, does that argument make sense? Do you have any questions? Questions, comments? Yes, no? We're good? Okay. So let's
Wait,
move on.
Yeah. Maytel, could you go on mute, please?
Yeah, there's a lot of background. Yeah, okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay. Fine. So, if you have questions, just you can just unmute and ask. Okay. So let's start. So let's start the fifth proof now. Okay. So v'hachamishi, mitzad inyan haribui v'ha'achdos. This is the idea of plurality versus unity, of you know many versus a singular being. V'hu sha'aklidus gadar ha'achdos b'sifra. So we already mentioned this before. That Euclid, right? Euclid was we mentioned this a few days ago, was basically the founder of geometry, essentially. So he has a book known as his Book of Elements. And he defines what unity is. V'amar, and he says, ki ha'achdus hi asher bayomar l'chol davar echad, rotza lomar, ki ha'achdus kodemes le'echad b'tiv'a, ka'asher nomar, ki ha'chom kodem l'chol davar echad. So basically, Euclid compares the idea of unity to the relationship between an item being hot, for example. So he says like this. He says that unity is the property where, in other words, the idea of something, of achdus, of unity, is the thing that is the kind of the backdrop, or is the necessary prerequisite to say that something is one. In order for something to be one, it needs to be unified by its very definition. So he says, like, for example, the same way that we say that something which is, in other words, let's say, for example, an item which is hot, so the heat precedes the item being hot. It's almost like a natural, necessary prerequisite to that item. The lule ha'achdos lo haya ne'amar al davar mehadavarim echad. If you didn't have that aspect of unity, you could never declare something to be one. In other words, what he's essentially saying is that the aspect, the notion of oneness, presupposes or assumes that there's also unity here. And the idea that we need to think about min ha'achdos from the aspect of unity, hu yechidus gemura, is the notion of complete uniqueness, ubedidus, and complete singularity, she'ein imach chibur, where there's nothing connected to it, there's no connection, velo dimyon b'shum inyan, there's no resemblance, velo ribui velo misbar b'shum panim, right? It's essentially, it's freed, it's not connected to anything else. Velo hischaber el davar, velo hisparimi davar. It's not associated or disassociated with anything. Sorry, just hang on one second, sorry. Okay, sorry about that. So, okay, fine. So basically, he's saying that these ideas of unity are assuming, right, that Hashem is not connected or bound to anything else. The inyan haribui hu klal achadim, the idea of plurality of multiple things, is basically, you know, again, we spoke about this idea a few days ago, is that the whole is the sum of its parts. So if you're going to say that something has plurality to it, then it's considered to be a mixture of different things. V'lo yitachin sheyaktim haribui la'achdus asher mimena nisraba, which means that by definition, something which is plurality, something which is not one, which is not unique, by definition, cannot precede the unity from which it's formed. In other words, what he's basically saying is, you can't have parts of something before the whole thing existed in the first place, right? V'im nimtza b'sichlenu o b'hargasho senu shum ribui neida yediya berura ki ha'achdus kadmaso kikedimas ha'echad hamin yani l'sha'ar haminet. And he says, if we're going to figure out with our senses, we're going to think about something which is plural, which is made up of multiple things. If we think about that, so then we know for a fact that this thing, this you know, multiplicity, this thing that which is made up of a lot of other parts, must have come from somewhere else first, right? In other words, as again, this is an idea that we also mentioned a few days ago. If something is a mixture, a composite of other things, there's no way that that's the way that the item came into being naturally. It must have been formed from other things that existed beforehand. Umisha yachshov. One who believes that God is more than one, yesh lo lomar al kol panim ki ha'echad kodem l'chulam mipnei hakdamas ha'echad l'minyan va'achdus l'rav. What you have to, even if you believe that there was more than one God, you would have to concede that there was something that came first, right? In other words, even if you were going to argue that there were multiple gods, but where did those multiple gods come from? Who created those multiple gods? They must have come initially from a singular being at some point, right? Because again, everything which is a multiplicity, everything which is made up of multiples, came from one source initially. So in Cain, go ahead, Maital. Yeah.
But a child comes from two parents.
Okay, that's true. Well, I mean, if you want to get really technical about it, the Gemara says that a child comes from two parents and from Hashem, right? Hashem also has input into what a child looks like, which is true. But I think here what we're talking about is less like a child being born, but more something like, if you see something which is like, in other words, a multiple of something. So, like, for example, you're looking, again, this is the, I think the mushroom we gave this the other day, let's say you're looking at, a piece of kugel coming from a whole kugel, or a piece of cake from a whole cake, right? So the pieces come from the whole, right? You can't, for example, you can't have a piece of cake if there was no cake there initially, right? I think that's, you know, pretty straightforward logic. So what he's essentially saying is that even if one wanted to make the argument that there were multiple gods, you would still have to say that those multiple gods came from somewhere, that there was that there must have been one god or one being or one something, one entity initially at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
That there must have been someone initially who created all of these gods, and therefore you are essentially left with the conclusion that there was one god who created everything, right? So he says, Im kein haborei charakol panim kanmon in kanmon zulaso kemoshen amar lefanai lo notzar kel va'acharai lo sihia. Like it says in Sefer Yeshayahu, Hashem says there was no god before me and there will not be a god after me, because at the end of the day, again, you could theoretically argue, says the Chovos HaLevavos, that there's more than one god, but the problem is that argument is going to have to end somewhere, because even if you want to argue that there's more than one god, but again, where did those gods come from? So eventually you're going to be led to the conclusion that there was really one God who created all of these theoretical gods. Okay, so that was argument number 5. Okay, we're good? No, any questions? Okay, so let's go to argument number 6 now. V'hashishi. Mitzad ha-mikrim ha-dveikim el kol misrabe. So from the mikre, which is a term we mentioned already a few times, things that are kind of incidental or tangential that attach themselves to other things. V'hu shaharibui v'haklal mikre nichnas al ha-etzem v'hu ha-kamos v'hu yisparach ha-borei ha-etzem v'ha-mikre lo tasigenu midami midosam v'etzem kvodo. So basically, this idea, this notion of plurality, of multiple things, multiple gods, whatever you want to call it, is something which is incidental, and that is more related to the idea of etzem, of the essence of something, and that is also part of the quantity of something. And since Hashem, as we've mentioned earlier, is considered the etzem, he's the essence of something, so none of these attributes of plurality could ever be attributed to Hashem, because Hashem is the essence of creation. He's the essence of everything which exists in the world. Right? He says, "V'chasher is barer." When we realize, "Ki haboreis alem yikol dimyon ve'erech al davar mibrio sav min haseichel," that Hashem is so glorified, and he's so beyond our comprehension, and he's so much more lofty than all of creation, mina kasuv, right? So, and we could realize that based on logic, and also based on psukim. V'haya haribui hanichnas al etzem hamitzrabem mikre lo yaus shetasig etzem kvod haborei mida mimidos haribui. It's just not fitting. It's not appropriate to associate this notion of multiple gods to Hashem, because someone of his stature, of his glory, who runs the world, it doesn't make any sense that he would be a god of in other words, that there would be multiple gods. V'im lo yisupar birov hu echad al kol panim mipnei she'in baharava ha'achdus emtzai im kein ein haborei yoser me'achad v'hu echad al kol panim kemo she'amruchana ein kadosh ka'ashem ki ein voltecha. And if you can't describe God as plural, because as we just said, it's not befitting his stature that there should be multiple gods, so then the only option that you're left with is to say, well, he must be one singular God. So this is a pretty straightforward argument. This argument doesn't really have a lot of philosophy behind it. It really just makes the case that it's just not appropriate. It's not befitting. It's not bechavod, if you would, to call God more than one God, because someone of his stature, someone of his level of glory, it just doesn't make sense to say that there are multiple of those types of gods or that God. Question?
But Rabbi,
yes.
I don't know how I feel about that, because there's no kind of like logical proof to that. It's kind of just like, yeah,
you're right.
He's so great.
You're right. I mean, listen.
I feel like that argument is if you already believe it, if you're like having that conversation.
Well, Meital, to be fair, this whole perek is not trying to prove the existence of God, right? That was like the beginning of the Sefer, right? That was earlier. Here we're trying to prove the oneness of God, right? So the assumption here is that you do already believe in God. That's because otherwise you wouldn't have made it this far, right? That was Prakim, Hey, and Vav were proving God exists in the first place. Now we're being a little bit more specific, trying to prove that God is one. So again, you're right. Once you've accepted the premise that God exists, I don't think it's such a crazy leap to then say, oh, and by the way, God is also one. And again, you could say that based on logic. You could say that based on psukim. Again, we quoted a pasuk also from Sefer Yeshayahu to that effect. So it's not like, again, it's not like so crazy if you've already accepted the premise that God exists to then turn around and say, and he's also one. Does that make sense? Yeah?
I guess.
Okay, I'm saying I hear your argument.
It's just like not much of an argument.
It's already based on the assumption that you believe in God in the first place, which I think is by definition, because this parak is not talking about proving God, but proving that God is one, which is very, very different. Yael, do you have a question? No?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, just a comment.
Yeah.
This is like any permission to believe in like Jehovah,
yeah. Halavah. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly. I mean, maybe Rabbi Kahneman got all that from here. I don't know. Okay, so let's move on to the last argument, the seventh argument.
Really quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Who wrote
Chovos HaLevavos? Chovos HaLevavos was written by, his name was Rabbeinu Bachya ibn Pekuda. He lived in the, I want to say the 13 or 1400s. I don't remember the exact years that he lived. He was like he was considered one of the most important Jewish philosophers. He, you know, as we can see.
Is this considered Kabbalah?
No, this is not. This is like, I would call this like intense philosophy. I don't think it's Kabbalah though. This is not right. Kabbalah is mysticism. This is more just like, you know, understanding Hashem, which is, I mean, I guess Kabbalah could also be that a little bit. But I think this is more. That's a complicated question. I think Derech Hashem is probably a mixture of Machshava and Kabbalah. But this, I think the Sefer is more Machshava oriented than Kabbalah. That's my opinion, and not that really makes any difference what I think about it, but okay. Okay, so let's move on to the seventh argument now. The Hashvi. Ki habore imhu yoser meyachad. If it were true that God was more than one, yakol achad mehem yachol levro ha'olam, olo yachol ela be'ezer chaver. This is really a really fascinating argument. If you were going to argue that there was more than one God, in theory, so then you would have to say one of two things. Either each of these gods could create an entire world by itself, or none of them can, and they all need the assistance of other gods to do so. And if any one of them is capable of creating the world on their own, well, that means that by definition, the other gods are totally useless, because if the first one can create a world on its own, what do you need the other gods for? And on the other hand, if you couldn't create a world unless you had all the gods together, so then you're essentially saying that none of the gods on their own are really that great, and they really don't have that much power. Because each of them on their own are lacking. Because each one of them on their own individually are considered to be weak, they're considered to be lacking, and they need everyone else's assistance in order to get anything done. Whatever is finite is also limited by definition. Again, this is the argument that we made before. If it's something is limited, then it's considered to be a composite, it's a mixture of different things. And something which is a composite is also something which came into existence. And that also means that there must have been a God. This is very similar to the fifth argument that we made, right? In other words, if you're going to argue that there are multiple gods, well, again, where did those gods come from? They must have come from an initial source. And here, too, we're saying that if, in other words, if one God could create the world, then all the other gods are useless. And if one God can't create the world, so then what's the point? So then it just undermines the strength of the other gods by definition. So imkain, hachalash yev shar shiyah kadmon, imnesha hakadmon lo siktsar yado, midavar velo yitztarech le'ezer zulato. In other words, to say that you had multiple gods, what that would effectively be saying is that God was not the first thing in the world. Because if God was the very first thing to be created, then by definition, he would have ultimate power to be able to create the world on his own. Imkain, ein habore yoser me'achad, so that means that if it were possible for there to be more than one God, the ilu hayav shar liyos yoser me'achad, and if it was possible that there was more than one God, hayav shar shetiyah b'nehem, machloket b'vriyah bruim, v'lo haysa nikberes me'am yitziras ha'bruim. Maybe the gods would get into a fight about how to create the world, and they would never actually accomplish anything or agree on anything. U'vimatsanu kol ha'olam hazel seder echad u'tnu achas, nimtzeis b'chol chilek mechalakav, lo nishtane, v'im hadoros neida sheyotzero man higo echad lo yishane ma'aseyu, v'lo yachalif hanhagaso zulaso. Kemosha amaru mi kamoni yikra v'yagideha v'yarcheha li, v'amar David li olam Hashem dvarecha nitzab b'shamayim l'dor v'dora munascha konanta eretz v'ta'amot. This is also very similar to the arguments that we spoke about a little bit the other day, which is that the very fact that the world is functioning, that the world is running in confluence and tandem, everything is running as part of one picture, and you don't have, just these random things all over the place that have no connection to each other, would seem to prove to us that it was one God who created it, because it's highly unlikely that if I had multiple gods creating the world, that every one of them would just agree on everything, and everything would just look exactly the way that it does. Umasha anu roim and hagas abore hashlema bivruim. So we see the fact that Hashem rules the world with perfection. Ki hahanagalo sihi hashlema masmedes al inyan echad ela behisyachir echad beitzau v'hanaga kimelech b'medina v'hanefesh baguf. The only way for something to run with perfection, to run in one unit, with confluence, with one form, is to say that everything is made by the same God, by the same being, by the same ruler, right? V'amar Aristo b'sifro. So Aristotle says in his book, b'inyan hayichud, regarding the subject of unity of Hashem, ein tov b'rivos harashim. It's not good to have many heads. Acharosh ha'echad, should only have one head. V'amar Shlomo. Shlomo says a similar idea in Mishlei, b'fesha eretz rabim sareha v'gar. Because of the sin of the land, there are many, many princes or many officers in the land. So this is basically his conclusion to this perek, which are essentially all of the proofs, all the seven proofs that we went through, that we delineated to prove that God not only exists, but that God must be one by definition. So at the end of the parak, he basically just says that these proofs should be sufficient to emphasize, to underscore the fact that God in reality is actually one. Okay. Any questions? Yes, no, maybe? We're good? Okay. I think we'll